You, a knee, and BPD. Episode 18. Substance abuse and addiction. So where I am, lockdowns are starting to loosen up a little bit. People are starting to go out. People are starting to, you know, plan parties and get together for groups. Summertime is coming. Weather's getting hotter. People are starting to, like, make big plans. And for a lot of people, this is great. You know, they finally get to see their friends. Maybe they can hang out at the beach or whatever, have a birthday party, whatever it is that people do. I am not a people person, but this is what I see people do. But on the flip side, this time of getting excited and ready to be out with people can be very traumatizing, or can be very overwhelming for lots of us. And so that is where it brings us to the topic of today's podcast, which is substance abuse and addiction. Because research has shown that the COVID lockdowns has made addiction issues and substance abuse so much more rampant. So many more people have turned to, you know, alcohol, drug use, other different types of stimulant use to keep them feeling like sane during all of everything that's happened over the past year. And for those of us who are living a sober lifestyle, or who are choosing to abstain from certain things, it can be really hard when you go out and you're around people and everyone's super excited to be back together, and maybe everyone's drinking and you're the only one not drinking. Or, you know, maybe everyone's just passing around whatever drugs they have, and you're put in this position of having to walk away from that. And especially for people with borderline personality disorder, this is a very important topic, because research shows that although BPD only affects 2-3% of the general population, at least that's in North America, the amount of people with BPD who experience substance abuse and addiction is 2/3 of us. So out of 2-3% of the population, at least 2 out of every 3 of us with BPD have experienced or are experiencing substance abuse and addiction issues. And that's a really big majority of us. It's really kind of scary to see those numbers. And it's kind of scary to think about the implications of what that means, because it means that our mental health is so intertwined with just being prone to abusing substances. So I think when we talk about this, we need to keep that in mind, that this is something that affects a lot of us. And this is something that not only affects us, but also affects the people in our lives. So first off, when we talk about substance abuse versus addiction, what does that mean? So I did a quick Google search and I found a research paper, and it was explaining that substance abuse, or people who live with substance abuse, typically have control over their lives. So this might mean that they are capable of, you know, taking a tolerance break. Maybe they only drink every day after work, or maybe they only use drugs like on the weekends. It still means that they're using more than the average person, so it could be considered abuse of these substances. But with substance abuse, people still can generally be talked down. Maybe they're more willing to have a conversation. They might even recognize that their, you know, use of a substance is becoming an issue. Meanwhile, with addiction, Addiction is prolonged substance abuse. And addiction actually comes from a chemical dependency in the brain. So this is specifically to do with opioid addictions, drug addictions, and alcohol addictions, where it physiologically changes the way that you interact with these substances. So with addiction, it can lead to endangerment and risky behaviors in order to get whatever substance they might be addicted to. People might feel like they have no control over their lives, or they might feel like, you know, they need this substance to survive. And addictions are where we start to see a lot of ODs happen, and where we see a lot of people turning towards addictions in order to deal with, you know, circumstances that they're in because of their addictions. So just a quick example, let's say somebody first off starts smoking marijuana, and then they're somewhere and somebody goes, hey, do you want to try this drug? And they go, sure. And then the drug that they tried is really awesome for them, and they go, wow, I feel so great, I feel so amazing, I want to do more of this. That might be a substance abuse issue. They might start doing that drug every day, but they're still able to, you know, put it down, walk away, spend time with their families, all that. But then it becomes an addiction where the moment they're waking up, they might reach for that drug. Or the moment that they're done work, they're reaching for that drug. Or even at work, they're taking their break to go do drugs, right? That is where addiction comes from. When we talk about substance abuse, it most often is connected to substances, that would be alcohol and drugs. When we talk about addiction, specifically when it comes to borderline personality disorder, addictions can be so much more than just abusing substances. So some people with borderline personality disorder develop shopping addictions, which I definitely had for a good amount of time. Some people develop food addictions, where they're binging or they're purging or, you know, even restricting food. Some people with borderline personality might develop an addiction to risky behaviors. And addictions can even happen when it comes to self-harming. So there's tons of different ways that addictions manifest in the scope of borderline personality disorder. It is not just using substances, which is what I think people most often contribute the word addiction to. It can happen when you just find something that seems to feel good for you and seems to make you feel good, and then you just start doing that thing all the time, and eventually it doesn't feel good anymore. It feels like something you have to do because you're so acclimatized to it. For me, I
had a shopping addiction, and for me, I was shopping like every other day, and when I wasn't shopping, I was thinking about shopping, and I was going to the mall, and I was walking around, and I was looking in stores, and I was making shopping carts and leaving them on my laptop, and I would have like multiple tabs open of shopping carts, or I'd be like, I'd just get paid and immediately go to the store to buy a sweater or to buy whatever. And for some people, they just go, yeah, that's just shopping. Like, that's not that big a deal. But for me, it was like, I was racking up some serious credit card debt. I would make the decision between, am I gonna eat today? Like, am I gonna go buy lunch, or am I gonna go buy a pair of shoes? Am I going to go buy a new shirt or whatever? And the thing is that for me, at least, my kind of addiction to shopping was very much in touch with my mental state. So during this period of like 2 to 3 years, I was feeling extremely uncomfortable in my body. I was experiencing a lot of body dysmorphic thoughts. I was constantly trying to reinvent myself and finding things that would give me meaning. And part of that was the way I dressed, the way that I looked in the world. I was constantly like, ooh, I could wear this, I could wear that, I could be this type of person who would wear that. And it was a way for me to reinvent who I wanted to be. But then I ended up having like half a closet with clothes in it with tags that I never even touched. Or I would buy things because I'd see them on a model and I'd be like, oh, I could look like that. And then it would come and I wouldn't even put it on because I would be like, I'm not wearing this. In my right mind, I know I'm not wearing this. But in the moment, that is what is bringing me happiness. And I'd hide. This is the thing where I knew that it was bad, because I would hide my like packages I would get from my husband. I'd hide them in the closet, or I'd only open them during certain times when I knew he wasn't home. I started ordering on my credit card as opposed to my debit, because it's my credit card and he doesn't know. And like, when you start to, if you ever start to find yourself where you're hiding something from other people, or you go, I don't want to tell this other person about that, then you might be falling more into an addiction. That was, to me, something that I realized, hey, this is not what I want to be doing right now. And it is extremely hard to stop. I don't shop as much. I'm very happy about that. But at least once a day, I'm making like a shopping cart. And that's where I would say that it's like an abuse kind of thing, like a shopping abuse, if you want to say that. And that's kind of where, for me, I see substance abuse compared to addiction. Another way that I kind of can theorize it in my brain is I started drinking pretty late compared to other people. I started drinking around 18. I had some friends who were drinking way earlier than that. And for me, I would say that I had a substance abuse, like alcohol thing. Because I was drinking like Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, like consistently for like months on end. And I didn't want people to know that I was drinking. So sometimes I'd go to the bar with my friends, but I'd already be pre-drinking before I went to the bar. And then the other thing in my head, and I distinctly remember many times, is thinking to myself, if I am drinking, I'm getting blackout drunk. If I'm not getting blackout drunk, then what is the point of drinking? And that, to me at least, constitutes an abuse of alcohol. Because there are some people who can have a beer at, like, in the evening time. My husband's like that. He can have a beer, right? But for me, my head says, I don't even want to sip if I'm not getting blackout drunk. And it still says that. And I have not had a drink since about 2016. And I still feel that way. I see people drinking sometimes and I go, wow, that looks real good. But then my head goes, yeah, why don't you have one? Why don't you have one? Just one. And I don't even trust myself that much. And so there's a lot of people that deal with this, right? There's a lot of people that deal with this in many different ways. So what do we do? How do we understand it? How do we quantify it for people who don't deal with this? Well, one of the ways that I've seen it explained is that some people say that addiction causes BPD. And research has shown that that's not true. If you live with addiction, right, you might experience roller coasters of emotions. You might experience dissociations, times when you might feel like you're out of control for yourself. But that does not constitute borderline personality disorder. Although, what I will say is there's this thing that exists that's called dual diagnosis, which is where you might go in for addiction issues, right? You might realize that you have an addiction or substance abuse and you go in to get help. Maybe you're in the ER or maybe you're in like a facility and someone will suggest that you might have borderline personality disorder. Borderline personality disorder is a mental illness. It does not directly cause addiction, but it can be an important factor to why you develop an addiction, whether you're diagnosed or not. So one of the things about it is that addiction issues can heighten the aggression or psychosis that some people feel, You know, I'm sure all of us have had an experience with a family member, a friend, or even ourselves where they have one drink or one something and it causes them to kind of lose control over themselves. With borderline personality disorder, considering that we experience the world in such intense emotional reactions to things, addiction and substances can cause that to be even more heightened. And research-wise, there is some research that suggests that women with borderline personality disorder are more likely to have substance abuse issues or like opioid addictions, while men are more likely to struggle with alcoholism. And this just has to do with the way that we're socialized. It has to do with the way that alcohol is, you know, readily available in so many different kind of, I don't want to say like manly establishments, but just in so many different things where men generally gather, there is like alcohol there almost everywhere. So alcoholism is a very big thing for a lot of men with BPD, and it can make their aggression worse and it can make their relationships worse. And fundamentally, that's the thing about addiction and substance abuse, is if it's affecting your family, if it's affecting your friends, then that means that there's an issue. And sometimes we can fall into these mindsets. I know that I did in the past, where it's like, well, you're making me feel this way. And it's almost like we want to deflect. And this is what research has shown is really hard in treating borderline personality disorder. So if you've ever tried to get addiction help, and you felt this way, like, you're not wrong. Like, it can sometimes feel like we are expected to fix ourselves. And it's like when your mind is the enemy, when your mind is the thing that is like pushing you towards these substances or towards these things that make you feel better, you might not want to get better. You might say, I don't have an addiction. I don't have a substance abuse issue. It's because I was treated this way. It's because this person treats me this way. It's because this thing happened in my life. It's because of this drama I went through. And sometimes it's very hard to treat addiction when we're not treating the mental health issues behind the addictions. You know, there's some people who are addicted to things like coffee or going to the gym, and people don't look down on those people, right? Unless it has like a very, very drastic difference between them. I know some people who have like 4 or 5 cups of coffee a day, and they're like, yeah, I'm fine. And I'm just like, dude, that's like, you literally can't have one day where you don't have a cup of coffee. Like, that's kind of an abuse to me. Yet the moment that you have somebody with mental health issues who have addiction or who has an addiction, people don't even want to talk about that. They don't want to acknowledge that mental health and addiction are so intertwined, especially with borderline personality disorder, because a lot of us deal with feelings that are too hard for us to handle, or we deal with these minds that can become obsessive and can make us experience flashbacks or experience memories that feel so real to us, or we just feel numbness. For a lot of people, trigger warning, we're going to talk a little bit about self-harm, because I think that that is something that we need to talk about. I'm going to make a full episode about it, but I'm just going to mention it here. For people who self-harm, right, sometimes people will say to them, like, oh, you want to die. And I know when I self-harmed, I didn't want to die. I just wanted to feel anything. I wanted to feel something, because I either felt too much or nothing at all. And sometimes that numbness to the world is the very antithesis of what you want. You want to feel happy. We want to be happy people. And when you feel nothing, when you look around you and you find no joy and no happiness and not even sadness, when you feel like you have nothing left to give, sometimes you turn to self-harm. Right? That's what a lot of us turn to. A lot of us deal with self-harm and self-harming tendencies. And these things are what makes us feel anything. So when we talk about self-harm addiction, right, people will sometimes be like, oh, like, you want to die. You don't care about your family. You don't care about me. You don't care about this. You don't care about yourself. And it's like, I'm trying to keep myself alive. This is how I keep myself alive. And what we need to do in those situations, if you're somebody that's dealing with this, is recognize that that might be your coping mechanism. And maybe what you need is a lot of mental health help before you start dealing with the addiction. Because it can be very hard to deal with both at the same time. If your therapist is not trained, if your doctor is not trained, if you are not going to a place that deals with dual diagnosis treatment. So what do we do? Right? What do we do when we deal with addiction and substance abuse? Well, the number one thing that I know of is, and this seems so self-explanatory, but it's often not, is to hold ourselves accountable, right, for the situations we put ourselves in. For instance, when I stopped drinking, right, I also stopped going out. I stopped going to clubs. I stopped hanging out with people who just wanted to get together just so we could drink away the afternoon. Like, I stopped doing that. And that might mean that I have to lose some friends. That might mean that when somebody goes, hey, I'm having a birthday at a bar, I go, yeah, you know, it's not my scene. And we need to remember that we are only held accountable to ourselves. Whatever it is that we're dealing with, right? We need to try to have compassion for ourselves and love for ourselves as much as possible. This is why I always end my episodes with telling you that you are amazing and I support you and I want you to get better. I want you to figure out how to handle your mind, how to handle yourself and the emotional roller coaster that you might be on. So as things start opening up, right, as people start inviting you out, you might even ask, is there going to be drugs? Is there going to be, you know, alcohol? Are these things going to be there? And if they are, you have the decision to make to say, you know what? No, I don't want to go. And if anybody gets mad at you, that's their issue, dude. Like, you don't even need to worry about that because you got to keep yourself safe most of all. And then on top of that, reach out. Tell people, this is what I'm struggling with. And if that means that you go to a therapist, then cool. DBT therapy, dialectical behavioral therapy, is and was specifically created for people with borderline personality disorder. It is a way for you to counteract your brain, for you to counteract situations that you might find yourself in. So maybe you need to get a workbook. I have a workbook that I work through sometimes. Maybe you need to get a therapist. Maybe you might even need to do in treatment, like in-person treatment. And a lot of the times these can be very expensive and there's a lot of barriers to access. And sometimes they don't even want to take you if you have borderline personality disorder. So I don't always think that that's the best, but if that's what you feel you need, advocate for yourself, try to get help as much as possible, try to reach out to people so that you can get their support, and be honest. Be honest with your friends, be honest with your family. If you are struggling, you need somebody to talk to, because it is not easy to struggle alone. It is not easy to kind of put yourself in situations or to be around other people that trigger things within you and make you feel like you want to turn to self-harm or you want to turn to your substance abuse or whatever it is that you are dealing with. It is not easy to do that by yourself. And also, reach out to people through like medical ways. So some of the ways that I'm going to share with you right now are, in Canada at least, there's this thing called Wellness Together. And if you just Google it, you'll find it. It's an online resource that was specifically created by the Canadian government. And this is specifically for those people dealing with mental health issues, but also substance abuse. They also have a phone number, so I'll say it to you, and then it will also be in the comments, like under this episode. So it's 1-866-585-0445. So this is Wellness Together. This is a helpline that you can reach out to, and they will... they have counseling, they have online little kind of books you can work through, they can give you recommendations, so feel free to call them if you ever feel like you need anything. This is specifically in Canada, so depending on where you're from, you might need to look up if there's something like that, but this is Canada, so it's 1-866-585-0445. Another great place, if you're a little bit younger, is Kids Help Phone. Kids Help Phone has therapists that are specifically dealing with or trained to deal with addiction issues, and they can help you get help if you ever need it, or if you just want to talk to somebody, if you're in a really stressful position and you just want to reach out. They specifically deal with youth. I think it's up to the ages of 21. So, yeah. Their phone number is 1-800-668-6868. You can also find them online. They have a bunch of resources. They also have a text line if you don't want to talk to somebody on the phone because that can be overwhelming. So this is Kids Help Phone. Phone number is 1-800-668-6868. And if you are from America, if you are one of my America listeners, there is an addictions hotline that is available across America, and they have 24/7 confidential therapists waiting to talk to you about addictions or about how to go about trying to find a therapist. They can give you recommendations. So this is 866-315-9123. So this is specifically an American one. It's called the Addictions Hotline. You can also just Google it, and you'll find a bunch more information. They also have articles about BPD and addiction if you ever kind of want to look that up yourself. Once again, the phone number is 866-315-9123. So those are just some really quick phone numbers. I've used Kids Help Phone in the past. I think it's a great program. I actually volunteered with them for a little bit as a crisis responder. So I kind of know some of what their training is for. And the main thing I just want you to know is if you're dealing with addiction issues or substance abuse issues, your brain might be telling you that, you know, you're a failure. And you can't let anybody know, and that you should hide it, and people will judge you and all this different stuff. And let me tell you, the moment you tell somebody, I don't want to come to your party because I'm struggling with addiction, or I don't drink, I don't want to come to the bar with you, they will be 100% on board. They will try to help you. They will try to accommodate you. And if they don't, you don't want to be around those people, okay? You don't want to be around people who don't make you feel good about yourself. And I know, especially when I was going out, I had people that sometimes I'd be like, when I was starting to think about stopping drinking, I had people who were like, oh, like, you're fine. You just drink on the weekends, like, blah, blah, blah. But it wasn't good for me. It was not good for me. And this is another reason why I stay away from like heavier drugs, because my brain is predisposed to be like, hey, you find that thing that you like, you may as well do it forever. And I don't want to do it. I don't want to turn
to alcohol or to harder drugs than marijuana. Like, I smoke marijuana every night. And some people might say that's an abuse issue, but for me, it helps me to go to sleep, it helps me to feel better, and I really appreciate marijuana in all of its beauty. But I don't want to try harder drugs because I'm afraid. And that fear is what keeps me safe. I don't want to drink because I'm afraid that I'm going to drink too much, I'm going to say things I don't mean, and I'm going to push people away that I don't want to push away. So please reach out to people, tell your friends, tell your family, and just be honest about it. Because ultimately, that is the best thing you can do for yourself and for the people who care about you, is to be honest with them and say, I need some help. Because statistically, of the people who listen to this, a lot of us deal with addiction or substance abuse. And that is okay. It is better for you to admit that you are struggling, to admit you need help, to admit that you can't control yourself, than to struggle alone. It is always better to reach out. So please, please take care of yourself. I love you. I support you. I hope that you know that you are beautiful and amazing, and all the greatness in the world is within you. And I will see you next time. As always, reach out on my Instagram if you want. Share this with people if you want. And I will see you in the next episode.